as a result of an attack on the Sana'a International Airport. Yemen's internationally recognized government says it carried out the operations in Sana'a, but I would like to be clear, I mean, this is pretty much a Saudi-backed government, isn't it? Donovan, yeah. I mean, let's be honest here. It's a Saudi-backed government, and we all know what the Saudis actually did to Yemenis. I mean, there were thousands and thousands that were killed over an extensive period. Does this mean that that so-called truce and ceasefire that's been in place now, I think for close to 4 years, you can rectify me if I'm wrong, is it now in jeopardy now?
You know, the thing is this is the repercussions of the very overt power-based, military-based as opposed to security, okay, approach by the United States in the area under Trump. And make no mistake, don't misunderstand me. I would not say a Democrat president like Biden or whomever else is better than a Republican president like Trump. I'm not meaning that.
Yeah.
But the approach of Trump has created both political instability to the degree of security instability within that region. So on one level, you know that you have a region that balances America or Western interest who back particular autocratic regimes and vilify others, as well at the same time overtly back the 51st state in Israel. So you know that balance has been continuing, and progressive organizations and individuals and so forth in that region, as well as around the world, were continuously striving on one basis on Palestinian liberation, on anti-Islamophobia and so forth, and Western and against Western domination, to point out the contradictions, and that. So it wasn't great, but it did not cost so many lives and the possibility of war all the time. With Trump, you got an indication of it in his first term when he went ahead and recognized Jerusalem as the capital and he moved the embassy there. He gave an indication of how he could bluster his way through within that region. And unfortunately today, for most of this term, you are now seeing what he can actually do. So Saudi Arabia, unliked very often within the region, but understood that they have the backing of the US and so forth, with the invasion of Iran, and as much as they had attempted to, if you recall, MJ, that, you know, they went to the BRICS meeting in Russia and so forth. They attended the meeting and people thought they were part of BRICS and they weren't. They just said, no, we're attending the meeting and so forth. So they were going on a Chalmers offensive just before that for about 2 or 3 years, opening themselves up, you know, with the crown prince trying to show that he's a modern ruler and so forth. All of that went to pieces with that Israeli-American invasion of Iran, which could be understood as Saudi Arabia being a part of it by the American bases used and so forth. And the dominoes have not fallen the way the U.S. security establishment thought they would. If anything, it's only spread the conflict. And I understand the Yemeni stroke Houthi governments, in a sense, right? In that Saudi Arabia is now a player in the conflict, not just an attendant of the United States. If you catch what I'm saying, I've tried to paint this picture. We have done it before. You have been excellent at it as well. But this is what we are confronted with. And Saudi Arabia now, let's see what happens. because it's going to be tough.
So the renewed strikes on Iran over the last couple of days, we've seen the knock-on effect in as far as the price of crude oil is concerned. Global markets have again been jolted. Iranians are insisting that they had and still have the circumstantial evidence, Don, that those were spy vessels that came into the Straits of Hormuz under the instructions of the U.S. administration. Now, a couple of analysts that I've spoken to said we've got to perhaps look into it. Was this maybe a false flag operation by the Zionist entity, because they themselves were never happy with the MOU and a so-called ceasefire, because they have a different end game in West Asia, and that is they do not and cannot allow for Iran to remain in West Asia with its sovereignty, etc., because that most certainly will not allow them to complete the Greater Israel project. So then the United States obviously went about attacking key sites in the south of Iran, and now the Iranians are saying, well, the MOU is futile. We don't see further negotiations to take place between us and the United States, because we're seeing where this continues to go. It's like a constant stop, start, and a reset of the same thing over and over. Now, the concerns are, Don, would we see the likelihood of Ansarullah closing Bab al-Mandab? Because that essentially will maybe take the price of crude oil to $200 per barrel, and we are concerned about the Straits of Hormuz. So this will literally then double down on the pressure that we're seeing now.
Good call. You know, not to be overly sarcastic, but there is a sarcastic tone that will come from me. As you know, MJ, right? Yeah. that only the West has a right to spy, no one else.
Yeah.
It's wrong when anybody else spies, but when the West spies, they're doing it for our good. That's the reaction, generally speaking. That's how the media paints it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the Chinese. The Chinese were vilified for the weather balloon, if you recall.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, yeah. And it's like, this is an attack on sovereignty. This is an attack. This is a security breach and so forth. But when you find an American agent in Germany, you know, through WikiLeaks and so forth, spying on the head of state, what's the problem?
Mm.
There isn't a problem. So these are the things that are some of these major contradictions that bedevil the entire matter. But let's get to the crude oil. And you must look at the attack on Saudi Arabia within that context as well on oil, hey? You must look at it. It is a good call by you to say that you may be focusing on the Straits of Hormuz, but remember, Yemen is pretty close as well. It's the same channel. But just more than that, you've had Trump turn around and state quite categorically that, he's going to now be in charge of that strait. They're going to charge, I just can't remember the figure. I think it was some 2% or $20 or I can't recall it now. And he will not allow Iranian vessels and other vessels to go through that. So it's basically announcing an annexation of sorts. If the U.S. could have controlled the Straits of Hormuz, they would have. At the same time, though, and this is where we, as the world, we need to sit down. And even Iran, in a sense, is incorrect. International waters should not be able to blockade it.
Mm.
It was wrong when the U.S. did it under Kennedy and continued to with the blockade against Cuba, the blockade against Venezuela. It's equally wrong when Iran does it defensively,
yeah,
in this sense. Going forward, Iran should understand that this should not be done. They shouldn't be at all there, even for that matter. But notwithstanding that, strategic points like just around the corner from you, the Cape of Good Hope, the Suez Canal, Panama, etc., all those strategic points need, the world needs to come to some understanding on it. Like the rules of war, which are not followed in the Geneva Convention and so forth. But there has to be an understanding of those strategic points. But not now. Because the pressure should not be on Iran as to on the Straits of Hormuz and its accessibility, or on Yemen when it defends itself through using a strategic point, the Houthi, a strategic point that can defend them, because they were bombed for no reasons as well, you know, too often. And for now, we're going to have to ride it out. I don't know what will happen with the oil price. We were just kind of recovering. What is true, though, just like sanctions, there seems to be some way that oil seems to be getting out, because reserves are not gone. The problem is, as we know, capitalists don't work, or capital doesn't work like that. Given this threat and so forth, it's going to hit the oil price, even if there is there's enough oil. Unfortunately, they're gonna use that to raise it. It's gonna and countries like South Africa, which are importing countries, are gonna be hit worse. We import oil, and yes, we get a lot of it from Angola and Nigeria. And you were just talking about immigrants and so forth. There's some aspects of that. Hopefully, it won't be affected by that. Doesn't affect our ability to continue to buy. It shouldn't, though. It shouldn't really, but I'm sure some analysts will point to it and raise the specter of that, but I don't think it would. And we can then look at it then. But in essence, the West backing Israel with such an open book must understand that they have caused this. I'm very clear on that. That was racist. It was with the injustice of it is remarkable that it was allowed for so long. And that's the root cause in many ways.
All right, Don, and I would have loved to have had more time. Unfortunately, we've run out of it.